Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Then we'll get started here. Father, we just thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your mercy. Lord, your word is precious to us. It's spiritual food for us. It's a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our path. Lord, it strengthens us, gives us understanding, transforms the way we think. Father, we look to you, to the Holy Spirit, to teach us tonight. Father, I yield myself to you. Father, in the gift that you've placed within me for your church, Lord, speak through me. Give us utterance and boldness in love. We ask for it. We thank you for it. We believe for it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to do something first off. It's been an interesting week so far. Let's go to 2 Chronicles real quick. I preached on this Sunday. Of course, I had the privilege of youth pastoring. Some people don't call it a privilege. You consider it a privilege when you're hired, and then a deliverance when you're set free from it. But anyway, I had the privilege of youth pastoring. One of the things that I saw through the years, being under the senior pastor and just watching how the church operated and flowed, and really, the Holy Spirit helping me understand how the enemy operates and what he does in a church, is that whenever God moves in a strong way and it ministers to people, you can almost count the next week or so a bunch of things just rearing their ugly head, one after another. And so, as faith people and the word, what we call the word of faith and the message of faith, sometimes that can be it can be jolting to you, because you feel like, man, we just came off this service and then this and this and this happened. And the enemy he'll do things, and then he'll come at you and go, now where's your God? He's just like that, because he's a sorry, evil guy. So faith, you're operating in faith the strongest when you're obeying the word, but you don't feel anything. And so just through the years, I just watch it happen, and I'm going to talk about tonight some of the things that, I was going to go a different direction, but I really felt like the Lord said, no, you need to talk about what derails people's faith, what causes them to let go of what the Lord has spoken to them. Because what I've found is most people believe pretty quick in the church. I mean, for a large portion, but hanging on to what God said and standing and fighting the fight of faith, that's where you really get tested, your mettle does. As one minister put it, he said, it separates the men from the boys and the women from the girls. And it just does, because faith is one of those things that it is a fight. It doesn't mean we're emotionless. It doesn't mean we don't have feelings. It doesn't mean circumstances don't touch us in this life. It means that we don't allow those things to dictate what we're believing for in the manifestation that we're expecting. Does that make sense? And so, a lot of times people come for prayer, and what they really need is just talked out of what the enemy has talked them into. Amen? And so, I want to do this. So in 2 Chronicles, we looked at this, and we talked about how the enemy had come out against Jehoshaphat, and so they sought the Lord. You know, when you feel fear, you need to seek the Lord, okay? You need to go back to the Lord. Don't wallow in the fear. Go back to the Lord. Begin to seek him. And they called for a fast and all these things. And then the prophet speaks by the Spirit of the Lord, and he declares these great things. He says, do not be afraid nor dismayed. You could almost put the word disturbed in there, but dismayed, basically what it means is like confusion or derision. It has to do with fear trying to, I don't know if you've noticed this, but it's almost like when the enemy attacks and when he does something, thoughts and feelings will come, and they are so intense that it feels like you cannot see or think a way out. And the enemy is just like that. That's who he is. That's how he functions. And a lot of times people will think, oh, that's who I am. No, that's who your enemy is, and he's trying to impose on you his nature and fear so that you will react to it, take it, accept it, begin to speak it, operate in it, and then manifest that thing. And so you have to resist. You have to come against that with the spirit of faith, the shield of faith, which is what we're talking about. You have to speak and come against the things that the enemy is bringing against you with the word of God. Because we know this, and we're going to look at it, but if you submit yourself therefore to God and resist the devil, he will flee. Okay? He will flee. Because he doesn't have... he doesn't have power like we have power in the resurrection. He doesn't have strength like we have strength in the resurrection. He doesn't have that ability. And so the prophet says this in verse 15 in 2 Chronicles 20. He says, "Do not be afraid nor dismayed because of the great multitude, for the battle is not yours but God's." The battle is not yours but God's. It's God's battle. Amen. It's God's battle. He says, tomorrow go down against them. They will surely come up. He tells you where the enemy's going to come up. And I've watched it through the years. It's almost like it's clockwork. He's going to come up right here. You know, the church is growing. Things are going good. What's he going to try and do? He's going to try and cause a disintegration of the unity through offense. Through, well, you know, maybe I didn't hear from God. That's what he tries to do. Why? Because it's not that you're so special or I'm so special. I mean, we are to the Lord, but he's more concerned about the body of Christ becoming or realizing who they've already been created to be than he is about just us individually. He doesn't want a recap of what Jesus and the apostles did. Now, he hasn't stopped it. It's been happening and will continue to. But what he doesn't want to do is he doesn't want you and I to discover what we've already been made and then begin to operate and live in that in this area. But tough. It is happening. Come on. It is happening. Well, it doesn't feel like it. I know that's your feelings, not your faith. So don't be afraid, don't be confused, go ahead and saddle up and go down because the enemy's going to be there. But in the midst of it, what did he have them do? He chose some people. Verse 21, it says this, "And when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of his holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, 'Praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever.'" And while they were doing this, this is spiritual warfare, while they were doing this, the enemy was, the confusion and the fear that was trying to come upon the children of Israel, it was flipped and it came upon the enemies that were coming against them. And we talked about this to the point that they basically destroyed themselves. I mean, not basically, they did. Down to the last two. Now, here's the thing. And this is what we're going to practice just for a little bit here. I wasn't going to go this direction, but we need to. So I got a phone call from somebody right before church. We're not going to be able to make it. So-and-so's in the hospital. Not somebody directly, but affects directly somebody in our church. There are other things that happened today that I'm not necessarily free to talk about. And just different things. The enemy is the enemy. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know what I mean? Yeah, but not for long. His time is limited. So, we have the opportunity with opposition to respond in faith and have a manifestation of the promise of God. And you say, well, what does that do? Well, for one, it is a blessing to you. But for another, it is a testimony to the world that Jesus is alive. Jesus is alive. So it's a witness. It's a blessing to you because it's covenant for you manifested, but it's a witness to the world that Jesus is alive. So it's both things. Well, what did they do? They went out in front of, you know, most people not, okay, we're going to war with another country. What should we do? Get all the singers together. You know, don't sight in your gun. Yeah, to make sure your instruments are in tune. No, it doesn't make sense, you know. No, what about the jets? No, we don't need the jets. We need, you know, we need the band group. Where's the, you know, it doesn't make sense. That's because the word doesn't make sense. It makes faith. And I'm looking at faith people. People that believe. People that when the devil has done 1, 2, 3, 4 things, you get up and go, for the Lord, he is good. And his mercy endures forever. And so we just need to do this right now. You know, I don't need a worship team, but we just need to close our eyes, or you don't even have to. Let's just raise our hands and lift our voices. For the Lord, he is good, and his mercy endures forever. Lord, we honor you. We praise you. Father, the enemy has come out against, but we say we still have the victory in you, and it is manifesting, and what the enemy has meant for evil, you are turning now, even now, for good. In the name of Jesus, we stand on your word. We stand on your promises. Satan, you are defeated. You've been stripped. You've been brought to naught. You've been disarmed. We glorify and praise you, God. We magnify the deliverer. We magnify the healer. We magnify the provider. We magnify you, Lord, for you are good, and your mercy endures forever and ever and ever. Lord, there is none like you. Hallelujah. Lord, there is no power in this earth or in any universe that can withstand you. And we glorify you and praise you, Father, that your angels are even moving now and changing circumstances for your kingdom, for your glory. Thank you, Lord, for it. In the name of Jesus, we honor you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you, Lord. Thank you, Father God. We worship you. We worship you. Thank you, Lord. So we worship you and honor you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness. In Jesus' name. Okay. So, when the enemy tries to move that way, you know, we don't just have to do this. We can do it corporately. You can do it on your own. You can do it on your own. Be careful that you don't exalt your problem above your God. Because people will, and it's easy to do. I know it is. I understand. I know it's easy to do. And I'm not talking about, you know, we talked about Dr. Spock. I'm not talking about being a stoic. Well, I can't have emotion. I can't have, no. We're not talking about any of that. We have emotion, but we don't let emotion have us. It's not that we don't feel. It's not any of those things. It's that we are living from the inside out, from the spirit man out. And releasing God into the situation in a sense, in our operation in faith. And so, because he's given us that place of victory, amen? All right, so Habakkuk 2:4. We'll get into this. I have it. This is probably not the best spot. It's hard for everybody to see, but you could probably see on that side, huh? And then the pulpit's in the way on this side. But Habakkuk 2:4, we're talking about faith. It says this, behold the proud, His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall what? Live by faith. We live by faith. We live by faith. We talked about this last week, but in Corinthians it says, we walk by faith, not by sight. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. Amen. 1 John 5:4 says this. It says this. It says, for whatever is born of God does what? Overcomes the world. And what? This is the victory that has overcome the world. What? Our faith. Glory to God. I said glory to God. Our faith is the victory that overcomes the world. And of course, we're tapping into the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, in the last 2 weeks, we've talked about what is faith. And we talked about the shield of faith in Ephesians. And we're not going to go there right now. And we talked about faith is a belief. We gave a definition to it. There's more. There are so many scriptures on faith. You could go forever. But faith is a conviction. And this is what I like to say for me. Faith is a knowing. It's a knowing. In other words, we'll get into this in a second, but faith is a knowing. It's a conviction. It's a belief. And it comes from the Word. Okay? Now, I was going over that a little bit today in my notes, and I posted on Facebook just kind of what the Holy Spirit had said to me. And one of the things that you got to realize is that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. But that is not a religious repetition thing. I mean, repetition can help with understanding of certain things. But I think sometimes over the years people have thought, well, if I just say it enough, then eventually I'll believe it. Actually, that's not necessarily true. What you're really after is fellowship with the Lord. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word. So what does that mean? Who is the Word? Jesus. The Bible says in John chapter 1, what? He was the Word made flesh. So faith is, what you're doing is you're fellowshipping with God, and what is happening is His words are seeding in your heart, and what comes out of that is encapsulated in those words is faith. And it's not just your faith, even though you will operate in faith. It's His faith in you. It's His faith in you. So what problem are you facing that His faith can't overcome? Right? People say, faith people are just crazy. How can they be happy like that? No, you don't understand. It's not just crazy. It's that we're looking at that mountain knowing the resurrection is inside of us. We're looking at that mountain understanding that the one who conquered death, hell, everything the devil had. The devil threw everything. He tried everything. And Jesus went, no, I'm getting up in 3 days. And then God just stretched out that right arm and lifted him up. You know, he had to flex a little bit. You know, just the right arm, you know. It wasn't like, you know, it wasn't like, okay, maybe I throw a leg in here just to help me kind of, nope. Just pull him straight up out of everything that Satan had. You realize that we got to get this picture in our mind. We have to, by the Holy Spirit, we have to see this. There is not the cosmic struggle between God and Satan. It's not a struggle for God. He isn't like, okay, guys, Satan's coming. We, you know, what are we going to do? That guy is so annoying. You know? No, he doesn't. The Bible says that when Jesus walked the earth, that demons were cast out by the finger of God. The finger. You know, it's like we're in a fight. Mike comes up to me. I'm like, dunk. You know? Do you understand what I'm saying? God is not, Satan is a master of making things appear and himself appear and look bigger than he is. The God you serve, who is your father, you are his child. Come on, say it. I am his child. Holds the universe like that. Just like that.
Glory to God. How big is that problem? How big is it?
Not disqualifying everything that goes along with it. Not disqualifying what people feel. Not disqualifying, I've been there. I know. I understand. There are difficult situations, but with God, I overcome. Every single time. This is the victory that overcomes the whole world, all of it. Our faith. Our faith. Our faith. Your faith. You say, why are you keep working this? Because I got to convince you that you are that. Amen. You're going to win. You say, oh, good, I'll not have any more problems. No, no, you don't understand the faith message. No, you don't understand the faith message. Paul, if Paul was the man on faith, right? He had a few problems to deal with. Yeah, if he was the example of faith and he wasn't supposed to have any problems, he was a terrible example of faith. No, he just in the midst of prison would go, would say, you know, count it all joy. Rejoice, and again I say, why have to say that? People say, well, I don't feel like rejoicing. That is the perfect time to go ahead and let it out, because then you'll please God. You know, you may go, Lord, I don't, you ever done this? You know, with my kids, you know, sometimes they're upset, and but they'll do something that's funny, and you laugh, but they're not laughing. My kids have done this. And you laugh, well, they obey, but they just kind of, you know, did it because they had to, because they knew. And it was kind of funny, but it made you laugh. In other words, they responded in obedience or in faith to what the parents asked. And it brought me pleasure, even though they're feeling nothing. They just know that the other feeling is even worse if you disobey. So they go ahead and obey. You know what I mean? So they go ahead and obey. But it brought it pleasing. Listen, we're the same way with God. God looks down and he goes, look at that, Sean. The doctor just told his wife, this happened on our first child, Kylie. The doctor just told his wife that her fluid levels are half of what they're supposed to be. And what am I doing? You say, did you feel anything? I felt it all over my entire body. What are you talking about? I'm just like you. I'm sure the blood looked like it drained out of my face. You say, what did you do? Well, I was on a construction site. So I went in the basement and went, glory to God. Thank you, Lord. Glory to God. And I shouted and blessed and praised God. Well, you're crazy. No, I'm faithy. Yeah. You say, well, what if it wouldn't have worked out? No, there's no what ifs. I'm not what ifing with you. I'm faithing. And so in the midst of that, I did that. And the doctor's like, oh, we got to send her here. So they go and they check Kylie and she's fine and all this stuff. And then within a week, they measure Heidi again, because I don't know how they do it, you know. They measure her again, and within a week, her fluid levels had doubled. And they were where they're supposed to be. How do you do that? It's a spiritual garden hose. It gets in there. And God just cranks up the... And everything ends up being where it's supposed to be. And people say... Well, people will do this. They'll go, what if it wouldn't have worked out, Sean? Well, I will tell you this. I'm not going to change my doctrine. My doctrine is not established on my experience or yours. It's based on what the Lord said. If we're going to develop new doctrines every time something doesn't go the way we thought it should have or what we thought, then we're going to be in trouble. I mean, I can develop the doctrine. It's not God's will to save everybody if you want to do that. Because not everybody responds when you offer them the Lord. Well, it must not have been God's will. But the Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. Well, yeah, but that wasn't my experience. Well, your experience does not trump God's word. It just doesn't. if I'm going to have a God, he's God. I'm not. You got to just lay it down before him and go, Lord, I don't understand. I don't know why this didn't or that or whatever. And you have to yield to him and allow him to be God. And then don't be satisfied until you get an answer from him. Amen. Okay, so let's look at this a little bit more because I need to. Let's go over to Hosea 4:6. Okay, so I'm gonna hit this just for the next 25 minutes here. Hosea 4. I want to show you why people get derailed in their faith. Everything is just warm up till now. Okay. And I want you to see this, because the enemy, I've watched this happen so many times through the years. I mean, not much has changed over the years. And he's done it on me, and he's got me on it before. I mean, more than once. But there's one thing that I'm with Paul on this, okay? This is me and Paul. We're together on this. Forgetting those things which are behind. Which is, what about that, you know, that hurt that happened 20 years? I forgot about it. It's gone. But all those mistakes you made, I know, they're under the blood, devil. Just keep, you can run your video for someone else, because I'm not playing today. I'm not going to be a part of it. I'm moving forward with my life. I'm pressing on toward the mark of the high calling of God in Christ. So Hosea 4:6, one reason. And this can be a reason where people don't have faith at all, is my people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. Now, I read through this verse a couple of times today and through other translations. I saw something very interesting that put a little, you know, fear in my legs, so to speak. It made me shake just a little bit. And we'll get there. But I will say this. F.F. Bosworth said this, faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. You have to know the will of God in order for faith to be there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You hear the anointed word, the word of Christ, and when you hear it, that's the very first step in faith being in you. Paul said this, he said, how shall they hear without a preacher, right? Somebody needs to speak that word. You need to hear that word. And when you hear that word, then faith can begin. So in other words, faith begins where the will of God is known. If we do not hear God's word for our situation, then we will not have faith. Amen. Now listen to this. The general operation of faith is the same. And we'll get to this when we talk about releasing our faith. In other words, operating in faith as a general rule is there are some consistent things that take place. But the substance of faith for your particular area can differ. You say, what do you mean by that? It's all the word of God. Yes, it is all the word of God. But God is pretty specific about certain promises and about his promises. In other words, if your mind is tormented and you have a hard time getting it to rest, you don't need to hear more scriptures on financial prosperity. What's the point? I can't sleep at night. My God, whatever a man sows, it's coming back to me. Good measure, pressed down, shaking together, running over. You know what I mean? You'd be thinking about money and you won't go to sleep. If the issue is your relationship with your spouse, you don't need to hear scriptures on divine healing. You need to hear scriptures on love. That's what you need to. Why? Because faith comes by, and you have to hear that word for that subject. So in general, the operation of faith is pretty, but the substance of faith, you need to hear the promise in for your situation. So in this verse, we see two reasons why people will not receive faith. First, people are destroyed for what? A lack of knowledge. If you don't hear, you can't have faith. Make sense? You have to hear about the situation, okay? You have to hear what God says about it. If we These people are without knowledge. If faith comes by hearing the word of God, and you don't hear God's word for your situation, then you will not have faith for that situation. This is a big problem for some people, even today, when we have access to so much word. Isn't that crazy? Knowledge has increased. Have you noticed? I mean, there is available word everywhere. You can hear, and if you listen to all of it, you'll be confused by the time it's all done, and you'll go, I don't know what I believe anymore. That's why it's best to just stick with the word. Amen? Okay? Not just opinions. The second thing we see here is what? Look at this. So my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. What does it say? Because you have... If you reject the word concerning your situation, you will not have faith for that situation. Make sense? Now, if you read this verse in context, which I looked at in a couple different translations, this, the rejection of knowledge, was actually the priests that did it. It was the preachers. They were rejecting God's law. So the people were destroyed for a lack of knowledge because the preacher wouldn't preach the word. That's why it put fear in me. You know what I mean? Reverence. You understand what I'm saying? Not like I was afraid like God was going to kill me at that moment. Or afraid of a rattlesnake. You know. It reverence. In other words, if I'm a preacher, I better say what he said, not what I think. Okay, now listen to me real careful. Or what you think I should say. Good preaching, Pastor. Go ahead. Thank you. Believe I will. Come on. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. Come on. You say, well, why would you need to say that? What did Paul say would happen in the last days? That the people would heap up for themselves preachers because they had itching ears. Well, I don't like that preacher over there because he says that I can't do this and I can't do that. And he won't preach on my favorite subjects. Yeah, don't touch the money, preacher. You say, well, that does that happen? Oh, I've heard it. I've heard it. There was actually, well, I won't go into that story. We better move on. This was years ago, so we'll just let bygones be bygones. In the Good News Translation, this verse says, my people are doomed because they do not acknowledge me. That's interesting. Your priests have refused to acknowledge me and have rejected my teaching. And so I reject you and will not acknowledge your sons as my priests. In the Young's literal translation, it says, cut off have been my people for lack of knowledge. Isn't that interesting? Cut off for lack of knowledge. It goes on to say this, because knowledge you have rejected is the reason why they're cut off. Because they've rejected knowledge. If we reject knowledge, we reject faith. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Faith begins where the will of God is known. So let's look at this. Let's go back to Mark chapter 6, verse 1. And we'll look at this again, the same passage that we looked at last week. It says this, Mark chapter 6, verse 1. It says, then he went out from there and came to his own country, and his disciples followed him. And when the Sabbath had come, he began to teach in the synagogue. And many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? So he's teaching, the people are hearing, and what are they doing with his teaching? What are they? They are astonished by this teaching. They're not just like, you know, that guy was pretty good. You know, I've heard better preachers than him. They're astonished. They're almost in shock about what he's saying and the anointing that's coming through and what's being said. So they have a witness to them already that this is not just ordinary. They said this, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, where did this man get these things? And what wisdom is this which is given to him that what? Such mighty works are performed by his hands. Is this not, now watch this, Because we looked at this last week and we got to watch this because this is an issue. They said, is this not what? The carpenter, the son of Mary and the brother of James, Joseph, Judas, and Simon. And are not his sisters here with us? So they were what? Offended at him. Now this is the other reason people do not receive faith. What did they, what? And the verse goes on to say this in verse, well, I don't have it here, but it goes on to say basically Jesus could do no mighty work there because of their unbelief. In other words, why do they have unbelief? So they've heard amazing teaching, they've seen some miracles, but then they look at Jesus and they assess him naturally rather than by the Spirit. So they're assessing the situation. They have their eyes focused on what? They have their eyes focused on a natural thing. Well, I know him. I know where he lived. I know where he shouldn't be anointed like that. He's a carpenter's son. I played basketball with his brother in high school. A prophet is without reward in his own hometown. So the Lord sent me back to my own hometown. Yeah. No reward, no. In other words, they got offended by the natural and missed the word of God. This is how new doctrines come about. I got to read something to you. There's a book that we received in Bible college called Foundations of Pentecostal Theology. It's really good. If you love to read theology, you should get that book. It's actually really easy. It's an easy read for being a theology book. But the one of the authors of the book said this. He said, it is a mistake to judge the teaching of God's word by the degree of success attained in any age. It is a mistake to judge the teaching of God's word by the degree of success attained in any age. Listen to this. And they're talking about divine healing here. If every Christian were sick, it would not change the plain teaching of God's word. Come on, faith people. If every Christian were sick, it would not change the plain teaching of God's word. It would indicate only that men were failing to meet God's requirements. In other words, watch this now. Listen to me. I want you to see this. Guys, if you're going to have to settle this issue inside of yourself. I wish I could do it for you. If I could, I mean, every preacher wishes they could. But I have to fight through these things. Everybody has to walk by faith. Everybody is going to have an offense to the promise. It's going to come. And here's the interesting thing. God's word can be an offense to your flesh. And to your mind, and to your natural, and to your, what you think it should be. Have you ever noticed that when things go wrong, really wrong, people almost instantaneously go, why God? Why is that so easy? Because our whole world is influenced by death, by Satan himself. He has a whole system set up that's designed to curse God. He hates him. And we reciprocate the hate back to Satan. So, in other words, you say, what do you mean by this? If the Lord says he's one way, and a circumstance in your life declares it's another way, it's not time to change who you think God is. It's time to repent and turn and go, okay, God, if anybody is wrong in this relationship, it is me. If anybody can be deceived in this relationship, it is me. I'm the one that needs the helper. I'm the one that needs my mind transformed. I'm the one that needed deliverance from hell. And I don't know if you've ever noticed this, but Satan is really good at getting you to be offended at God. Have you ever noticed that? Well, if you would have done this, God, wait a minute now. Hold on. We need to go all the way back to the beginning to figure out how we got in this mess in the first place. And secondly, think about it this way. When those thoughts start to come, go, what did Jesus show about God? Christians do this, and here's a simple illustration that will help you. Every time almost every day this week that I've dropped off my oldest daughter at school, I come driving back up this street, Broadwater. Almost every day this week, there have been cop cars around two cars. One of them's always a teenager, and they've rear-ended the vehicle in front of them. Yeah, because they're looking at their phone, doing their whatever they do. And they ran into the back of that car. Every time that they're there, it's my phone going off, just so you know. That's vibrating. If you're wondering, it's all right, we can edit all that out. Every time there's police cars there, sometimes a fire truck. It is as crazy for me to blame the policeman and the fireman for the accident as it is for you to blame God for the stealing, killing, and destroying that have gone on in this earth. Does that make sense? Come on, put the devil in his place. See him for who he is. He is the one trying to take you out, not the Lord. The Lord has come to give you life, and life more abundantly. You say, well, what do we do if there has been an issue or a trouble or a tragedy or something like that? Then we need to get all of God in the middle of that situation that we can. Come on. So that we can raise that thing back up and go, you know, there have been deaths. There have been issues. There have been problems. Come on. My dad passed away in January of this year from, he had cancer. He was 68 years old. That is not the Lord's will. I did not blame God, ask God, wonder why God. I did not do any of that. Why? Because I have already been established in the fact in my relationship with my Heavenly Father. He showed me who Satan is. You say, well, what is it then? It's a personal vendetta now against the devil. I will, and I heard a minister say this, as long as the world turns, as long as I draw breath, I will believe God. I will stand on his word. I will be criticized for it. Oh, you're one of those. You're a tongue talker. Divine healing believer. You're a this. You believe in the blessing of God, the prosperity. Go ahead, mock. Go ahead. They mock Jesus, but I'm going to stand on his word so that, you know, I'm more concerned about the day that I stand before him than these days when I stand in front of everybody else. Go ahead and mock, but God will manifest. He will. We will see the word of the Lord come to pass in our lives, in this city, in this church. And all what the devil's doing, it just tells me he's nervous. Well, aren't you afraid? No, I will not live in fear. The glory of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the seas. And you know where I'm going to be? Right in the middle of it, bobbing up and down. We got miracles over here. What are you guys doing? We're swimming in God. He's on our money. He's on our bodies. He's on our kids. He's on our vehicles. He's on our houses. He's on our dogs and cats. He's on your bird, your hamster. I don't know why you want a hamster, but he's on your hamster. He's on your fish. Come on. He's the God that covers us all. Amen. He is. And in the midst of all this that's going on, we are his ambassadors. We are his soldiers. And as good soldiers, we fight the fight of faith. We don't develop new doctrines because we didn't see what God said. We go back to the Lord and go, Lord, I don't know. Help me. Help me. Help me. And listen to me. Don't quit seeking him until you get an answer. You know, where I went to school, Brother Hagin, his son-in-law had like throat cancer or something like that, ended up passing away, Buddy Harrison. And there were a few instances like that in his family that took place. And let me just say this. I'm going to talk about faith, and we're going to talk about where your faith can go and what it can accomplish and where it can be hindered by others. Okay? So just like you can't believe for salvation for somebody, there are certain things that people are going to have to believe on their own. You ever met somebody that just wants to piggyback on your faith for the rest of their lives? You're like, man, get off me. You know, read a book or something, would you? Just get it. I'm just teasing. So, but we want to grow spiritually to where we're a blessing to people, right? But Brother Hagin talked about this. He talked about certain things. And when you preached faith and healing like he did, you imagine the enemy was coming at him going, oh, faith and healing guy, how come this person died? Or why'd they die from this or that? And there were times where he really sought the Lord on things. And I don't remember, there were a couple of times this happened, I think. But one specific, the Lord said to him, the secret things belong to me. And that issue is a secret between me and them. And he said, I don't want you to ask me about it or think about it anymore. Now, you said, people go, well, that just sounds mean. No, no, no. What came out of those words? Faith. Because he heard from the Lord. And faith and grace and the goodness of God comes and settles in your heart. And then in your, come on, how many have questions that it's a difficult situation and you've never really settled it in your heart? You need to hear from God. Because if you do, you'll hear from him. It will settle down inside of you and you won't be concerned about it anymore. My God is well able to comfort you for the rest of your life about the area that was a source of maybe pain or hurt, that's an open wound that's been there for years. He's more than able. Don't tell me that the problem is beyond his ability to fix or heal, because it's not. You just got to get on the right side and let the healer in. Amen. Well, I don't want that area touched. Well, then it'll hurt. You got to let him get in there. As long as I've walked with the Lord, and some of you and many of you probably walked longer with the Lord than I have, he has never embarrassed me. I mean, you know, other than a few times where, I was rolling on the floor laughing or something like that, but that was, I was participating. So, no, he's never taken a sensitive issue with me and made it public and embarrassed me and made me feel, you understand what I'm saying? He's never done that. He's not going to do that with you. You got to start opening that up to the Lord and let him deal with you. Why? Because if you don't, it'll hinder your faith. It'll hinder your faith. You don't want your faith hindered, because your faith is the victory that overcomes the whole world. Amen. It's the victory that overcomes the whole world. Hallelujah. Amen. So, to be offended, if you look up that word, I want to say this again. In Thayer's Greek lexicon, it says this: offense, to cause a person to begin to distrust and desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. That's what offense is. That's what offense is. When the questions become accusatory toward God, you need to back up. Not like, okay, so you say, give me an example. Okay, I'll give you an example. There's a difference between going through something and saying, God, why did this happen? And going through something and going, why, God? Make sense? One has a hard attitude of, Lord, I need you to fix this in my thinking. I need you to fix, I need healing in this. I need this to be fixed. And one of them is, oh, I'm hard towards you. You did this. Make sense? No, the devil came to steal, kill. Not God. He didn't do that to you. Amen. He didn't do that to you. People say, well, what'll happen? He'll restore what was lost. And people say, well, do you still, you know, have emotion or feeling concerning your dad? Of course I do. Of course. He's my dad. He's still my dad. I did not lose him. I know exactly where he's at. I am headed to him. Right? And so I told you this last week, but I have this thing on my phone. It comes up, so you know, so I don't text and drive. It makes me stop, you know. Ties to my Bluetooth, and it comes up, and it has a picture of my dad. And it says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Why? I'm a soldier. I got to have a weapon. I need a sword of the Spirit. So what are you doing, Sean? To live is Christ. What's he doing? Gaining. Big time. Running, dancing. Probably no gray hairs. He didn't have a lot anyway, but... Yeah, cheering me on. Prepping for the next phase. What do you mean? We're going to join up again. We've got to conquer universes here. Something's going to happen after this is all said and done. We're not going to just go up there and strum harps on clouds. If you believe that cartoon, we'll renew your mind. You don't turn into an angel either. Angels are your servants. You rank higher. What is man that you're mindful of him? Don't worry about it, angel. We are who we are. Just obey the word. Amen? Hallelujah. They take pleasure in it. So, offense is to cause a person to begin to distrust or desert one whom he ought to trust and obey. So don't get offended at the Lord. Amen? So, last, this is the best way that you can remain open to faith. James chapter 4, verse number 7. James chapter 4, verse number 7. Now this is awesome. This is a word that every bit of your flesh loves. Not really. Verse 7. Therefore, what? Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he might flee from you. That's a good confession. You realize what she just said. He will. He's done. He's been stripped. Submit to God. Don't resist God. So the primary way that you submit to God is submitting to his word. If you can't submit or choose not to submit to his word, then your resisting of the devil is a waste. I think we could eliminate about 50% of prayers if we just did this verse. Prayer time would be much shorter. Well, I still want to live in the flesh and just act all carnal and act like a ding-dong. But I want you, Pastor, to pray for me that the devil will leave me alone. You can't play in his playground and have him leave you alone. If you play in the mud, it's going to get on you. You know, you have to separate, you have to submit to God and resist the devil. Not assist the devil. Resist, resist, resist. There's no typo. This is from the Greek. We're safe. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. The word submit means to be under obedience. It means to put under, to subject, to submit self unto or be in subjection. So in other words, submission is where you're choosing to yield to what God said. Amen. That's an act of faith. Because how many have noticed that your flesh just does not want to do that all the time? The word will say, count it all joy, my brethren. And your flesh will go to bed, my brethren. We can count it joy in the morning, Sean. After I've slept for about 9 hours. Oh, I just don't feel like it right now. See, this is where obedience comes in. But if you, and I'm looking at people that do, if you want to see just spectacular results, do in obedience to the word what your flesh and your mind doesn't feel like nor understand. And you will have a manifestation of what God said. Because he will do it. He will do it. He will do it. So submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. This is an area where people, they get the enemy, and the truth is, even because of the nature of our world and even the way that we were raised, how this world operates, everything is very flesh, natural, sense focused. It just is. That's why, you know, we call it devotion time with the Lord is so important. Because once you get out of that time with the Lord where you're fellowshipping with him and you're reading the word and you're praying and hearing from the Lord and the Lord speaks to you about things and you have answers to things, the moment you kind of step out of that bubble, so to speak, even though you're not stepping out of it, but you start to look and function in the natural in your day-to-day life, the enemy, boom, pops his head up here, there. Why? He is trying to get you disjointed and disunified from the Lord and what you read this morning. He wants circumstances to happen. He's working them that way, different things like that, to where you will let go of the promise that God has given you. And how many have noticed he'll do it through people? How many have noticed and read that he tried to do it through Peter to Jesus? And Jesus was real polite about it. He looked at Peter and said, "Now, Peter, come on. You don't, that's, no, that's not. Get behind me, Satan." You know, don't say that to your spouse. you may come to church with black eyes or something, you know. But what did Jesus recognize in that moment? That's not Peter. Because what did Jesus just get through saying? He's telling them, "Look, I'm going to be crucified. I'm going to be, oh, no, no, that's not going to happen. You're the man, Jesus. You're going to rule everything. The Romans are going down." Stick with the Lord. What seems like, and sometimes people will say things like, "Man, I wish I would have learned this 10 years ago. Well, let's not think about 10 years ago. Just do it now. The Lord can make the next 20, 30, 40, 50 years, 60 years, 70 years, whatever, so good that those last 10 were like, you know, we don't talk about those 10. We're talking about these 50 here. The Lord can make up time. Boom, 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 boom. Quick, quick. And before you know it, you'll turn around and go, "Whoo, we've been wrecking hell." An establishing kingdom. Amen. You say, "Is it necessary that all, can't just a few people or the preacher live like this?" No, no. The glory of God is going to cover the earth like the waters cover the seas. And the primary, one of the primary ways that the glory of God covers an area is through you. It's through you. It's through the church. Well, we need, you know, we need more famous preachers. We got plenty of famous preachers. We need some Christians that aren't interested in anything other than, "Lord, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done through me where I live, in my family. I'm changing the generations. I'm changing what they do. My kids will not do what I did in high school. For one, I'm too wise to it. For two, they will serve the Lord. Why? They are being raised, developed, trained in an atmosphere where what? God is dominant. Oh, you're perfect. No, I didn't say that. I said God is dominant. There's a difference. They're learning. They're seeing. What did Ian say the other day? He said something. Something happened that was good. And he said, oh, that's a blessing. That's good for nine. Yeah, it's what a blessing. In other words, good things, God. Bad things, devil. What a blessing. Well, it's because they're the preacher kid. No, you put the word in your kids. It has nothing to do with being the preacher kid. I've met preachers that... we won't go there either. It was a pulpit experience, and that was about it. But not, no. Our kids are going to go further than we did. Do more, have more, believe more, affect more, enjoy more of the blessings of God and the goodness of God and the favor of God. Amen. Yeah, and the, yeah, and we'll live to see the kids' kids and kids. So we can be a blessing along the way. So we can hand something down. Amen. You have the devil's number. Because Christ pulled the ticket and gave it to you. Stay with the Lord. Keep your faith will be steady. You will be strong. Things are going to happen. But greater is he who's in you than he who's in the world. Don't be like the Israelites. Every time something went wrong.
Well, why didn't you just let us die in Egypt? It was just kill us. Are there no graves there, Lord?
You keep talking like that. You're going to find a grave. And it won't be because God's in heaven going, can't stand them anymore. You know, lightning bolt. No, you'll just talk your way right into it. Because the power of life and death is in the... It's all right there. It's all right there. Amen? But God is good. He is faithful. He is not our problem. God is not our problem. God is not our problem. He is not our problem. The devil is the problem. He is the enemy. He is the source of everything that is going on, that is stealing, killing, and destroying. He is the author of it all. He is a deceiver, a liar. He's the father of lies. He is functioning in lies all day long, every day. He actually thinks he's going to win at the end of this. Don't give him place. Amen. Father, we thank you for your word tonight. We thank you that you're so good to us. Lord, we expect good things, miracles, good things. Your promises are coming to pass. And we just declare, Satan, what you meant for evil is going to be turned for our good and God's glory. And what you think you've caused to go back, to cause to slide down in areas, is going to multiply and shine ever brighter than it ever has before for the glory of God and for our good. Father, we just honor you and praise you. We thank you for it. We are doers of your word and not hearers only. We are strong in you and in the power of your might. We have the joy of the Lord, which is our strength, and we move forward and we are a blessing to those around us, in Jesus' name, amen. All right, God bless you guys. See you Sunday.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.